Good evening, everyone. We will call to order the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District meeting. If everyone could please join Director Guteau in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I please get roll call?
Roll call is taken. Let the record reflect that President Porter is absent.
Thank you so much. So in President Porter's absence, I'll be wrangling the meeting. So bear with me. We'll try to get through this together. Let's move now to public comment. Does anybody have a public comment in the audience? Please.
Thank you. I just wanted to give you guys a little spoiler here. I saw a presentation in one of the committees today from Dan Leo, which was amazing. It was great. It was about their they do an energy component to what they do. And they had a great presentation, and it's structured so that we must save money, otherwise it's a no-go. They have a handle on the funding for this, which is critical. And they're gonna do all the heavy lifting to get this energy program in place. And when I say energy, of course I'm talking about solar, Mr. Net Energy, Net Zero, or carbon neutral, right? I firmly believe that this is the goal of our town, the goal of our society. Really, what we should be doing our part with that. And so when it comes to you next meeting, just say yes. I mean, he'll get up, he'll start to his spiel. She said, "Oh no, we're good. Let's go." I'm done. It's really a sweet deal. It's a win-win. That's great in my book. The only thing that I would ask, which I couldn't do because of the structure of these meetings, was that net metering, NEM 2.0, is still available to us through the end of the year. So my question to them would be, to you guys, would be, is it possible to get like a small scale net metering 2.0 project in place so that we're grandfathered in and then we can expand it from there? We just have to do some kind of rekindling thing, because there's a big advantage of NEM 2.0 versus 3.0. So see if we can ask that question, and maybe we can fast track some rekindling project that'll get us some long-term savings.
Thank you very much. Got another public comment, please?
Thank you.
Any other in-audience public comment? Do we have anyone online?
No hands raised.
Okay, then I will close public comment and we will move to the consent calendar. Do we have any discussion on the consent calendar? Do we have any public comment on the consent calendar?
No hands raised.
Okay, then we will move it back to the board for entertaining a motion.
I
Motion to approve.
Second.
With that, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Coteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye. Motion carries. Consent calendar carries. So now let's move to area agency reports. Is there anyone from the supervisor's office?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Sheriff's office?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Apologies, I don't have little handouts for you guys. I've been having some computer issues. Other than that, Lieutenant Central Regard, she's in school this week. And on that note, both resident deputies are in regular school this week. They should be finishing up school. So I was surprised to see them out and about on the radar around the school events. Giving a heads up. Good morning, Well, they're good. So the Discovery Bay, last month we had 416 calls for service, approximately 52 reports taken by our officers. I'll just go through a little bit of what we got here. 9 shop lists came in that we took reports on. 9. Some of them items were taken, some dropped items and left. And the reason I bring that up is we took the reports because we had good information on the description as well as safer was good about the cameras. Out. So linked into some of them that happened to the other Safeway over at Mountain House. So they kind of hit that when we come over here too. We did have one individual that actually just walked into the back of Safeway, the loading dock area, loaded 40 pounds of crab legs and took off just like that. And that individual was at the Mountain House before they came over here. So give you a heads up, we're still dealing with that and our officers are still trying to deal with that stuff. Going over, and just a tidbit before I forget, I know that you guys get updated on the, remember when we had about 12, 4 or 5 now burglary with the vehicles and stuff. So our department was able to identify 3 individuals. Union City, 2 of them were from there, 1 was from Oakland, and they were all juveniles. That's what we're give you a heads up on that, but at least we're making progress on that aspect. We did have one of our traffic stops. Our officers conducted, individual did have a warrant, a county warrant, as well as drugs and paraphernalia with him on his person, so he was taking custody of that. We did have, on the 52 reports, we took about 13 reports involving disputes, domestics, people. They're all knowing each other and neighbors. I don't know if it's just a bad month for that or tempers are starting, but I did notice that's a lot for 1 month. So even one escalated to the part of his tempers from the neighbors. So hopefully things will get better in that aspect. I haven't seen it like that since the Discovery Bay. Somebody turned in a wallet, somebody else turned in a wallet, so we had 2 reports, people bringing in wallets that they find.
That's good news.
That's good news. CHP, we had an assist with that. They called about a possible stolen vehicle. Deputies did identify the vehicle, did hold that person until they showed up. They took over. We did have a robbery strong arm. They classified it as that. Trust me, it's just juvenile kids. One kid was taking tennis shoes from another kid. So I guess because of the elements of that crime, that's what the officers did with that. The battery called it away. We did have one of the local shops over at the Safeway Shopping Center did get burglarized. The front door was broken into and damaged, and they broke through the glass door. You see them crawling on the floor to get to the, where they kept a little bit of cash. We did have 1 reported package type mail theft from somebody's mailbox. We did have a license plate reported being taken off at somebody's vehicle. And I know you guys heard me say this before. We did have another extortion. It was a juvenile. I was trying to get extorted. being extreme by somebody, possibly from Nigeria, so that's the thing that we can say. Basically, it's, and I mentioned this, and if you put something on social media, if you send pictures, if you send something that mom doesn't approve, just don't do it. Because once it's there, and when people find out, they can get into your social media accounts, and they can use that as leverage against you to try to obviously take, get money, get something from you, especially if it's a job. So, fair warning with that, I know you guys heard me say that all the time, but it's true. Be careful what you post and what you send each other. Other than that, chocolate. So, do I have any questions or concerns from you guys?
Well, regarding the kids and the social media, are you guys going to the local schools here and maybe doing presentations at all, or?
We do, but the schools that we have are basically the smaller end. And we're there almost every morning. And we'll try to get the officers out there doing mealtime, lunch, recess, all that good stuff. I know we're planning a bunch of stuff in October for Red Grill and Green and some of the schools that we're going to introduce, and that might be one of them that we'll relay to the officers to maybe touch base on, especially at that age. Because you know, we're all talking about the little kids that really don't have a, but when they're home, who knows what they have for an iPad and stuff. So that's something that we're going to bring up for other ones.
I know it's, you know, when the kids are doing the Halloween candy pass out that we all participated, it might be a good opportunity to pass out some information to the parents at that time as well.
Yes.
It's a thought.
And that's, and with that, well, I won't be here, but we're going to have the parade. So you guys are more than welcome to come out for that parade like we always do. Every year you guys set up right next to us anyway, so you guys are more than welcome. Yes,
ma'am. Oh, when is your retirement date?
Yes. In case you haven't heard, I'm going to pull the plug. I'm going to retire. I've been with the department for 25 and a half years, and this October, I turned the magic number to retire, and my wife, unfortunately, has to do a certain minor surgery. So I said, let me just retire, that way I can stay home with her and deal with that. But it's going to be October 13th will be my magic day, which is...
For my own benefit, what is that magic number?
For the county, for me, it's going to be 55.
Yeah.
October 11th, 55.
I'm overqualified.
Yes. I'm going to retire out. And I've been out here since August of 2008. So it's been a long, good ride.
It has been a great relationship.
Good.
You'll be missed.
Yes, definitely.
Before you take off, real quick, one more thing. There's been a lot of issues and complaints about the golf carts continuing.
Yes.
And the kids on the motorcycles. You know, last time Lieutenant came and did a little presentation about it, she had said, hey, well, unfortunately, we can't impound or tow the golf carts, but you can still pull these people over and ticket them if they're in violation, correct?
Correct.
Maybe that message could be shared with the deputies. That's, I mean, I don't know what...
Yeah,
the
biggest, as you know, that we run into is the officer has to see it. Now, you can report, and please call it in. Hey, the kids are on this street doing this. We got to get our officers out there. Now, I know for now, Sergeant Daniels, he did actually see a guy on a dirt bike going by. No helmet. He did actually sight and took his bike. But, so it's all, and I don't want to call it luck, because it's not luck. It's that if it's being done in front of the officer, there's a lot of that we can do on that aspect. If it's not, we can identify them based off of what people are calling in and say, okay, we know it's these people here. We can at least try to do a courtesy knock on the door, say, hey, just to let you know, this is what we see. Because maybe mom, especially through juvenile, maybe mom and dad don't know what's going on. And we can at least make contact on that aspect. You know, just do the neighborhood thing.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you so much.
All right, here we go.
Thank you. Anyone from CHP? Contra Costa Fire. Oh, and I'm sorry, not Contra Costa Fire anymore.
Actually, it is Confire.
It's still
Confire.
Still
okay.
Costa County Fire.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good evening, everybody. I kind of like scheduling.
Yeah.
You okay like that?
Actually,
I'll
talk
sorry.
To the board. Yeah, sorry.
My apologies.
That's okay.
To everyone. My name's Lon Gage. I'm Assistant Fire Chief with Contra Costa County Fire. Thank you for putting us on your agenda. Fire Chief our fire chief, Louis Bouchard, wants us to be able to reach out to all the different communities that we serve throughout the county. So you can expect to see one of our assistant fire chiefs, myself, or one of the other assistant fire chiefs coming in about 3 times a year to just provide a face and provide you with an update on what's going on with the fire district. I'm going to try to make this brief so I can answer questions for everybody. Probably the biggest information to share with everyone is, as of July 1st, 2022, Contra Costa County Fire and East Contra Costa County Fire merged into our organization. So we assumed all the responsibilities for the fire protection within the former East Contra Costa County Fire District. I'm really happy and excited to report that since we have reorganized, we actually opened one of East Contra Costa's built fire stations in East Oakley that's almost across the street from Bethel Island, and started staffing that fire station a month prior to our annexation. And then after annexation, including that fire station, we've actually doubled the number of firefighters that are protecting the community in the former East Contra Costa Fire District, which we refer to as Battalion 9. So within Battalion 9, we now have 19 on-duty firefighters protecting the former footprint. It used to be protected with 9 firefighters on duty and a battalion chief, so 10 on-duty personnel. We've added a ladder truck to the battalion. So there's a ladder truck that's deployed from Station 92 in Brentwood. We have staffed Station 95. We have staffed a water tender because much of the area that we protect here in Battalion 9 does not have fire hydrants. So we hire on a firefighter every day to staff that water tender, and that water tender is deployed from Station 95 in East Oakwood. We added that second crew I talked about, that truck company, in at Station 92. So those additions have actually doubled the fire protection here. The other thing that I'm very excited to announce is all of our companies in Battalion 9 are staffed with a paramedic. So prior to annexation, the East Contra Costa Fire District didn't have that capability. But over the last year, we've incrementally added a paramedic to every apparatus within Battalion 9. So I'm just going to give you kind of an overview update from the Fire Chief's Report, just to give you some updates on some of the things going on with the Fire District. I'm going to try to focus it on East County and Battalion 9, because that's probably what interests everyone here the most. Back on September 16th, I was on duty, and we had the opportunity to bring all the different all the different departments that provide services from boats here in Contra Costa County. So we got together with the Sheriff's Department, the Coast Guard, and then our 3 boats that we deploy from Contra Costa Fire. So we have basically 2 fire boats and 1 rescue boat. So our fire boat closest to Discovery Bay responds from Bethel Island. Our fire boat that's staffed in Battalion 8, which is in Pittsburgh, comes from the Pittsburgh Marina. And then we have a deployable rescue boat that goes from our station in Antioch, which is a very valuable asset. Because a lot of times to perform rescues, we can actually get to marinas faster by road and deploy our rescue boat faster by having a deployable resource like that. Unfortunately, the fire boats are too heavy to try to deploy that way, but the rescue boats aren't, so we do that. One of the improvements we're looking to make in the next year or two is to add a deployable rescue boat to Fire Station 99, which is the fire station that serves Discovery Bay. So from our Bixler station, we'll train firefighters that are deployed at that fire station to deploy another rescue boat within the fire district. So that'll obviously help for those types of responses and also for backing up the fire boat that's responding from Bethel Island. We've had a number of significant incidents. I'm really glad to report that overall fire season has been not as catastrophic as we've had in the last few years. Really credit that to the amount of rain that we had this last year. We've also are kind of moving into the quiet but very dangerous part of fire season for us. So a lot of people drop their guard when we get into October, but you know, statistically, October, November, December can be some of the most dangerous months that we have for wildland fire protection. So we ask everyone to continue to be vigilant, and we will too. And we'll just hope that we sail into the fall and into the winter without any catastrophic north wind events, which we're kind of having one right now. It's kind of wrapping up. I'm going to update you on a few of the things. So like I said, Contra Costa Fire provides full service fire protection. So we provide fire rescue, emergency medical services. We deploy paramedics from all of our apparatus within the fire district. We also oversee the 911 ambulance system here in the county. So our communication center actually geolocates all the ambulances throughout the county to make sure that we're sending the closest ambulance to that 911 call. We work in partnership with AMR, and the AMR dispatchers are moving those ambulances around to make sure we have the optimal coverage throughout the county. And then our computer-aided dispatch system locates those ambulances and deploys them. So the benefit to the public is we're actually overseeing and funding that level of protection. We basically pay AMR to deploy paramedic staffed ambulances. We coordinate the response for those ambulances. We oversee and make sure that their response times are as good as we can do. And we try to take the profit out of the ambulance system and turn it into service. So we try to deploy as many ambulances as AMR can staff. Of course, we've got a contract and we hold them accountable to that contract, but overall, we want to staff as many ambulances as we can staff within the resources and the finances that we have. It's a great program. I can tell you, I've been a firefighter for 35 years, and having that type of a joint program where we're actually seeing the ambulances on our dispatch system, our dispatchers are dispatching those ambulances, we can make sure that we're providing the highest level of service possible to the public. We also have a full-service fire prevention division, communications division. Like I said, our comm center dispatches 85% of the fire departments within Contra Costa County. Prior to annexation, we dispatched these Contra Costa fire districts. So our dispatchers are very familiar with this area. Our firefighters are very familiar with this area. Many live in this community, and oftentimes we were the ones backing up East Contra Costa fire prior to annexation. Now we're one organization. But that communication system is state-of-the-art. We're actually in the process of doing a rebuild for our communication center to fortify it and make sure that it's even better than it is today. That is that's like a two-year, multi-million dollar process to do that, but we're invested in trying to make sure we provide the best communications that we can, and having a state-of-the-art communication system is critical to that. So we're working on that in the communications division. Our fire prevention folks are out there. We do full-service fire protection from plan checks to water supplies to occupancy inspections to exterior hazard control, including community risk reduction, trying to reduce the hazards in the community that lead to unwanted fire events. I'm just trying to pick through this thing, so I want to make sure it's appropriate for you guys. We're in the process of bringing on a new media coordinator. We actually just announced today that we are hiring a great candidate from the South Metro Fire District in Colorado that's going to join us as our media coordinator. Talked a little bit about communications. The backbone of our communication center are dispatchers, some of the best in the country. We actually just onboarded three additional dispatchers. They're completing their four-week training program, and they're actually starting in the center now. So trying to make sure that we have all the dispatchers that we need. I talked about the rebuild for the comm center. Support services-wise, you know, the supply chain has affected everything in America. So we're working overtime to make sure that we have enough fire engines, enough fire trucks, enough vehicles that are ready. We're ordering more vehicles than we have in the past, just as it's taking longer to build them. So we're trying to stay ahead of the curve, but we are facing a challenge in trying to overcome that. So our mechanics, our professionals work for our department, and we operate out of a central fiber auto shop in Concord. So we just need more mechanics. So if anyone knows a great mechanic, please send more away. We'll teach them how to work on fire trucks. Let's see, we recently rebuilt our fire station in Bay Point, Fire Station 86, and we added a second apparatus to that station that was funded through the SAFER program, where we have four firefighters that are now on duty 24/7 that are focused on rescue. And that rescue 86 responds throughout the entire fire district for any type of technical rescue, complex automobile extrication. They're the pros from Dover, and they're moving throughout the fire district. So they'll come and train with your local firefighters on all the latest techniques in technical rescue. A couple of facilities that are on the horizon, we're in the process of rebuilding the downtown fire station in Brentwood. That's going to be fire station 94. It's going to be essentially in the same location as the old station, but a modern fire station. We're adding another fire station in the city of Brentwood. If you're familiar with the Slatton Ranch area, it's going to be in that area right there to better serve the region. So lots of things going on at the fire district, a lot of positive things going on. We are recruiting and training firefighters. We just finished a recruitment for firefighters and firefighter paramedics that are going to start in the academy just after the first of the year. And I think our goal is to hire about 15 to 20, which may sound like a lot, but it's not much for us. we've been running 30 firefighter academies, two a year, for the past 5 years. So before I came back out to the field, I ran our training division. So we're always projecting and trying to make sure that we have enough firefighters available to serve from all of our fire stations. That kind of completes my update. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. I'll be happy to leave my card at the end of the presentation. I'll provide it to the staff. And awesome. If you have any questions or anything that I can do to help you know more about the fire district or what we can do to better serve the community, please don't hesitate.
I just like to say what an amazing presentation. Yeah. I learned more tonight than about the understanding of the operations than I have in many years. I could sit down and have a beer with you and ask you an hour's worth of questions.
I'd love to. I'd take that part off.
But I just had one question.
You live in a beautiful community. When I came out to that drill 2 weeks ago, it was like, I need to get more time in.
Yes.
It's beautiful out here.
I just had one question. So sure. Our Station 99, in your opinion, is that sufficient for Discovery Bay?
You know, we're going through what we call a standards of cover study right now. So the former fire chief of East Contra Costa, Chief Helmick, became a deputy chief within our organization. And one of the things that Brian's going to do is he's going to help us plan for the future. So he's in the process right now of doing what we call standards of cover study for the fire district. So what we do is we look at our entire jurisdiction, where our fire stations are. Are we meeting national standards? Are we meeting goals? And where do we need to add either companies, staffing, or potentially build new fire stations? So I can't really answer that question if it's adequate enough.
Well, is it currently fully staffed at this point?
It is, absolutely. So Fire Station 99 is staffed with three personnel, one of which is a paramedic. They are responding very close to the gates of Discovery, I call it a gate, but essentially the community of Discovery Bay. But it was decided that the facility on Bixler Road best serves this region. But I'm sure Chief Helmick will have some more information in the next year or two about the adequacy of our coverage countywide.
I know that we used to have Helmick would come in and he would give us the average response times and things like that. And I know you guys are tracking that kind of thing, but it'd be really interesting at some point now that you guys have done the additional staffing, get some of the fire stations that went out and you know, near Bethel Island and all of that, to kind of see how that's affecting our community and how the response times have changed.
Because I'll make a note and I'll try to get the response times.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can kind of trend it from prior to annexation and after annexation.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I would expect, just based on the additional resources provided, that Station 99 is getting pulled out of this area less.
Right. And that was the promise, so that's what we're really excited about.
Yeah, so I will definitely get back to you with response times, and I'll ask our statistician if they can kind of do a trend between, like, last year, prior to annexation, first year of annexation.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, because that'll really help us visualize kind of the impact you guys are making, because a lot of it, to us, is, you know, nebulous, right?
Right.
But I know you guys are working hard, so we really appreciate everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Board, any other questions?
Not for me.
No?
Nope, all good.
Thank you so much for your time.
I'll leave some cards and I'll be outside the door.
That'd be amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ask me any other questions. And thank you very much for your invitation.
All right, so let's move ahead. I have note there was no advisory council and no presentations. Still the facts. All right. Then let's move to item G1, a discussion of possible action item, authorizing Ludor Scalamini to provide design and construction engineering services. Is Mike on the phone?
Yes, I'm on.
Mike, can you hear me?
Yes. Are you able to hear us?
Good, yes, I can.
Awesome.
It works. So the item before you tonight is to go into one of our subdivisions was previously completed, but the fire protection system that was installed unfortunately was not completed, and so the buried metal fittings currently are not being properly protected. So this project from corrosion. So this project is intended to go in and finish the test stations that were not completely installed and get that cathodic protection system up and running so that we can have our buried fittings properly protected. So we have before you tonight the scope of work with Ludor Scalamini for approximately $58,000, and we'll also have about $150,000 in the budget to do these repairs to the various test stations, again, that were partially installed and not completed. So that is the action item for the board tonight, is to approve the agreement and authorize the general manager to execute the town standard professional services agreement plus 10% for contingencies.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me open to public comment, and then we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Do we have any public, either online or in person, that wants to comment?
No hands are raised.
Just a quick question, the anodes will need to be replaced again in the future, is that correct? And how often?
That depends on how corrosive the soil is and how much demand is being placed on the anodes. Anodes can last anywhere from, say, 30 years to 60 years, depending on how corrosive the soil is.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Awesome, thank you. With no other comments, I'll bring it back to the board for questions from the board. Yes?
I just want to say that the Water Wastewater Committee reviewed this today and agree with the recommendation of staff.
And this was a budgeted item, correct?
This was once a budgeted item, and it's been pulled off, and now we're re-putting it back in.
Okay.
So what we're doing is, for the future, as we're putting in new infrastructure, we're adding these items, which is why we took it off originally. But we do have the funds to support this.
Okay.
Where's the area that these are going in?
I'm sorry?
What part of Scary Bay is this?
It's all over. It's on the new side, new development side. So.
Any other board questions? All right, then I will bring it back to possible motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Brandt?
Aye.
Dr. Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Kelly?
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Mike. Now we'll move to discussion and possible action item two. Discussion and possible action to approve Lions Club tree lighting event in Cocoa Santa. And I understand, Brian, you need to recuse?
Yeah, I'll recuse myself because you're good for the community.
You are a lion.
He's going to be Santa.
Lion Brian, they call him.
Let's wait for him to come back and defend himself for that one.
Don't get me laughing before I have to get up here. It's a lot.
Monica.
Okay, good evening, everyone. So I wanted to remind you just that the December 2022 board meeting, the board did authorize the general manager, upon advice of legal counsel, to consider and approve any applications for public displays at the community center. So staff will continue with that board direction and work with the local groups that are requesting displays and will remain in compliance with all town policies, insurance requirements, and conditions of approval. Alan has already spoken with Rabbi Goldschmidt, I think, hopefully I'm pronouncing it right, and they are interested in putting up their menorah again. So with that, I'm going to segue into my staff report. So the Discovery Bay Lions Club is requesting to use the community center parking lot for a tree lighting event. It's a free event to the community. They'll have cocoa with Santa. Santa will be here with his sleigh for any interested in a little photo op. The event will include pop-up tents. Again, everything will be in the parking lot in the front here. Vinalegra will be here selling alcohol. There will be amplified sound, a DJ. Liberty High School rental carolers out doing their thing, which if you've never seen it is very, very cool. Food will be given away, and it's the first time done it here anyway. So they're anticipating about 200 people is their hope. Below we have a list of conditions of approval, so we will of course make sure that insurance and ABC permit and all those required items are submitted. So what staff is looking for is approval to allow the Discover Bay Lions Club to have their tree lighting event in Cocoa with Santa at the Community Center parking lot, December 1st, 2023, subject to conditions of approval required by staff. And again, there's no fees or costs to the town for this event because there's no fee policy for the parking lot. Any questions for me?
Questions? No. Is there any public comment on this?
No entries.
Perfect. All right. Then I'll bring it back to the board for a possible motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Kelly?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Monica. Thank you. And Bill, moving on to landscape report. Let me grab Brian.
It's going in the cocoa or what?
Okay. Good evening.
Hello.
I'll give you an update on how to triangle by zones here, so I'll give you kind of an overview. Zone 8, Cornell Prop 68 project. Obviously, the basketball court's done. The new playground bark will be in on Monday. We've started to disassemble and reassemble the new amenities for the barbecue area and the benches. The lawn replacement nearest the barbecue area will begin next week. The Clipper Drive project, we'll be ordering the bollard lighting, solar bollard lighting this week. By the end of next week, we should be complete with the entire dry scape and path. After that, we'll be turning to more maintenance-like activities, plant replacement, additional plants, replacing some dog stations. Also, there's an area of evergreen shrubs that we're initially going to stay, but based on some comments from residents, we're going to go ahead and remove those and add some different amenities as to be determined. There is a new palm at the signage area at the front entrance now. We replaced the queen palm.
You said something else. I was like, what? Okay, the palm. I got it.
The front entrance up lighting, looking to begin that 5 to 6 weeks once we get the fixtures in. And tree work trimming will be done around the perimeter of Cornell Park in the next few weeks. Moving on to Zone 9, the last fence post at Ravenwood should be complete on Friday. The issue was that there was some underground electricity running underneath that post, so it would be a little bit safer. Looking to get a quote for the sanding and repainting of the shade structures at Ravenswood, and letting you know that typically the splash pad gets turned off in the next few weeks here. Into the special zones, Slipher Park, getting the new basketball court surface. Safeway pathway lighting will also be ordered with the Clipper solar baller lights. Some general things. Director Calhoun, thank you for bringing attention to the extra watering in the parks. We're a little slow at getting that turned on this fall, but okay. Trying to dial that in and make sure they're drying adequately. Now that most of the streetscapes have been cleaned up and de-weeded, we plan to do a pre-emergent application for the fall. Hopefully that'll help with the winter weeds. The Conservation Corps contract for the weed abatement was extremely beneficial. They tackled some of the bigger streetscapes for us. The Boulevard, Bixler, Point of Timber, Park and Ride, Newport, Preston, Porthole. They also helped us mow the parks when our mowers were down, so that's extremely beneficial. It's nice to have them on board. We also have them on board for a 12-week contract beginning in the spring for kind of that beginning of the season weed abatement project. And I did have a new employee start. His name is Rodrigo Guerrero. Fitting in nicely.
Nice. Congratulations.
That's great. So you're actually what now?
Doubled your size. Look at you go.
Double.
It's massive improvement. Any questions?
Guys? Yeah, I have a couple questions.
Yes.
So regarding Cornell Park and the bathrooms, where are we at? Are we still kind of in an investigating stage, just getting data, or
in terms of what we want to do with that?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm actually in the process of getting submits.
Okay, and so the next Park and Recs committee will have something for that.
Okay.
On Clipper Drive. I don't know if this is a solvable problem or not, but the challenge I think we have is the kids riding their bikes to the gravel area. I don't know how, if that's...
I was going to mention that. So we're going to apply a tackifier to the California Board, what's called. Typically keeps it more stable. We might end up putting a little bit of larger rock next to the sidewalks of the camp.
Eventually a pattern's going to develop where you're like, okay, I see now where these guys are going to go. But for Slipher Park, for the bollard lighting, so what kind of time frame are we looking at for both?
So bollard lighting, they're 4 to 6 weeks to get in. They're going to send us the J-bolts, what they call it, so we can go ahead and pour the mounts. Mm-hmm. So once they're in, it'll take about a week.
So we'll install this in the
house.
So probably next 2 months, maybe 3 months.
Yeah, 2 months.
Including Safeway parking or Safeway.
That one's a little bit more intensive because the lights are taller, so they need a larger footing. So it's going to take a little bit more time.
Will we be doing that as well as that could be?
Not in house, no, not that.
Yeah. And then my last question was regarding the conservation course. So long term, I know we have the weed abatement section, but as far as the ongoing maintenance, the plan for the next 12 months to use them, you know, ongoing, or what's your thoughts there? And do we have enough budget to support that?
Right, I think that we're in process of kind of trying to figure that out in terms of
the balance between your staff and the and,
exactly.
And the course.
Yeah.
But for the next several months, that the plan is still to continue using.
Right, and you know, they are more efficient because they can have 5 employees doing something, or only 2. We can have 2. Doing something, so there is a benefit to quantity.
Well, I gotta say that Scary Bay is fantastic. You guys have done a fantastic job. I've noticed it's very noticeable. So thank you very much for the hard work, and thank the Corps for their hard work as well.
Absolutely.
It's it's unfortunate nature is always cooperative.
Yeah, and it looks like we're gonna have another fun run this winter. So. Yeah. I mean, we just get one giant umbrella for the Scary Bay. Awesome. Thanks for the update.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
So we have a general manager report?
did was I had our water wastewater manager hit him up right away to see what he's doing with all his equipment and his tools and everything. So we're going to be bringing back to the next meeting a package to purchase some of those items. So we're also in the process of looking for another emergency services. Mike Rocca is doing an RFP for us. And we've also just firsthand just met with a couple of contractors, show them Discovery Bay, had some discussions there. So we're moving along. Halloween, we are going to be participating in the parade. We will be putting our table out there right next to the Sheriff's Department. So come join us if you can. It's a fun event. The kids are adorable. So so that'll be on Tuesday, on actually Halloween this year. So it usually starts around 9 or 9:30, so, but I can confirm that and let you know in the next board meeting. Also, some really good news in finance. Now the transition from our money market account to California Class, where we're earning on our money a little more than 5%, is bringing in about $67,000 a month so far.
Woo-hoo.
So it's very exciting. It's a great thing for us. So
and that can go to the
finally, our money is working mm-hmm. for us.
And that can go to the general fund.
Well, we don't really have a general fund, well, but it can be used for...
It's not. It's unrestricted fund.
It's unrestricted,
thank you.
Correct. It can be used for
it's
things
that need
only,
I'm sorry.
So.
Zonate only.
Yes.
Zonate
only. No comment. That's the end of our report.
It's going to go towards reducing the...
Yeah. Well, that is good news. I mean, $67,000 a month is not an insignificant figure, so that's nice. Okay, is that all?
End of my report, thank you.
Awesome. And now let's move to director reports. Standing committee, we had an internal operations meeting. You want to give some highlights?
I forget. That was a long time ago. That was two meetings ago. What did we? I gave my way my
social media and AV.
Oh yeah. It was a relatively short meeting, and we discussed. We got updates on the social media. Getting some good positive results from Government Next Door. I don't know if I said that properly, but you get the gist of it. And we're getting some more positive results from social media. And I think that it's attracting attention to the community center. People that didn't know we even had one now know. So that's a great thing. And then we are still working to get a couple of more quotes for the AV project. I would like to say that when we do that project, can we get a mic on that stand? Because not everybody speaks with a voice that can be heard. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Okay, thank you for your help.
That was wonderful. And I would also like to point out that while we're talking about the AV debacle, amazing Mike Yuraka on the AV. That was perfect. So there's a gremlin for sure. Finance meet?
Yes, I was the only person at finance today with actually being out of town on a business trip. We listened to Margaret, our finance person, and she brought us up to date, or I can say us, well, everybody in the room, us, brought us up to date on looking over audits and such, state of California, filings, annual disclosures. We're going to be on time for that. And again, you heard the fabulous news about the $57,000. That was just thrilling. So it was a short meeting. I had a lot of long conversations with myself. Just kidding. And that was it. Careful, Kevin.
Awesome. Thank
I got the same problem. I can't look to Ashley to bail me out of this one. I got to bail myself out.
Water and wastewater.
Yeah, there we go. So you heard one of our presentations, and that was about that Mike Yuraka brought up. We had a presentation from Gregory Harris with regards to our NPES.
NPDES.
I'm going by rote, guys. I don't have my notes. Every 5 years, we have to upgrade update our permits, and so we're going to be using Stantec. Interesting point is that it actually costs less this year than it did 5 years ago, so that's kind of cool. So Stantec has got a lot of our data, and they've worked a lot with us over the last 20 years, and so they're going to be doing that for us. That's going to be coming to the board for approval in 2 weeks. And we heard about JW Backhoe. We're looking to see how we're going to address fill in the fixing a main. If it breaks in the middle of the street, maybe we'll train our own people. Maybe we'll still continue to use emergency services. We'll see how that works. And I, what else am I forgetting? Is that it? Oh, there was a presentation from Veolia Water that's going to be bringing it back to the board that you all will be interested in. Kirk kind of stole my thunder on that one. He gave a water wastewater committee meeting update for you guys earlier tonight. But they're looking at alternate energy sources. You know, one of our largest expenses within Discovery Bay is our electricity consumption because of the amount that it takes to operate. So they're have a net sum zero program where they're not even allowed to have it cost us any money. In the long run, it needs to be funding neutral, and they're going to be giving the board a presentation where we can decide whether or not we want them to move forward with that, which I think is what Kirk was referring to earlier tonight. So it was a great presentation. They're obviously a very worldwide and established organization. They know all the ins and outs. There's grants available, alternates funding sources, and all that kind of stuff. You'll hear much more about that in the future. We're going to have an update on the building and where we are with options. We're probably going to be having some trimming down again at the options that are going to be available for the building, but that will be at the next meeting because we didn't want to do it without Ashley here because she's an intricate part of that situation. But we are moving forward. We are discussing those things, and we did get some pricing on some alternative types of buildings, and we are excited about bringing that to the board in the next couple of weeks.
Great, thank you. All right, we had a training report filed. Was there anything of note with that from Contra Costa Aviation?
No.
Awesome. Correspondence from Department of Conservation and Development. Is there any future agenda items that anyone wants to bring up? No? All right, with that, I will adjourn the meeting, 7:52. All right.